get up. And on the way up, we're going to bite a kneecap off, all right? And we're going to stand up. And then it's going to take two more shots to knock us down, all right? And on the way up, we're going to take your other kneecap, and we're going to get up. And then it's going to take three shots to get us down.
All right, and what a time to be alive. For the first time in 32 years, the Detroit Lions have won an NFL playoff game. Phil, how are you doing, man?
Vince, hey, it's been too long. I mean, not since we've talked, but just in this sort of format, going back to our college days where the Lions were absolute garbage. Vince, the only thing I can kind of equate this to is seeing the coming out of nowhere runs from like when we were younger, like the 2004 Pistons, the 2006 Tigers. Just the sort of, is this team as good as they might be? What is going on? Oh, that team lost?
That is the question. That is the question. Now, Phil, you got some raw emotions from being actually at ground zero, and we're going to get to that. But
yeah,
first, some quick introductions just to gain a little sense of who we are. This is the Kneecaps for Breakfast podcast. My name is Vince Prolgar. That's Phil Byrne on the other side. And we did radio for many, many years, but it's been 14 years since we did this. So how cool is it to finally be back doing our thing together with so many awesome things in, you know, the Lions and NFL going on right now?
Yeah, I mean, everyone has a podcast. I'm fully aware of that. But I think as two guys that were involved in just kind of talking about sports for a long time, now is the perfect time to do it. Now is the perfect time to do it. This team is red hot. Look at the ratings. Look at Taylor Swift involved. Say what you will, but everyone wants a little bit of opinion on the NFL and what things are going on. And I can't wait to get this going with you, Vince.
So obviously last night is the big story. Lions with a 1-point playoff win over the vaunted Los Angeles Rams. It's funny how all these years later, I'm still doing the Raiders mix up and the Rams mix up, but I digress. So as a longtime season ticket holder, Phil, you were there last night with your two brothers, with your dad. I mean, just kind of walk us peons who were watching it from home or from a sports bar or somewhere else, like, just kind of walk us through what that whole atmosphere start to finish was like.
Well, first of all, it was bone-chillingly cold. I think anyone that is listening to this that went to the game can attest to that. Of course, we was, you know, it's middle of January. We're not used to this when going to a Lions game. First game that I've experienced in there where our seats are in the glass atrium side of the end zone. Literally walking through the aisle, or the concourse, I should say, to get out to our seats. We're still cold. I mean, it took 15, 20 minutes to warm up. Once we got warm up, I'll tell you what, we're there about 90 minutes before the kickoff. And just you could feel it. Chance for Jared Goff. People like, oh, is Stafford going to run out of the tunnel now? Seeing Kelly Stafford out there. Just seeing all these guys. You had Laporta with a huge knee brace on. What's he going to look like in warmups?
And how effective is he going to be at any point tonight? You had no idea.
You had no idea, but it felt like championship level stage. It really did. To be there, it was undoubtedly one of the coolest sports experiences I've ever had. I got to cover a lot when my time in sports media, but as a true fan, a true biased party, if you will, rooting long and hard for the Lions, that was what you dream of last night, or when we taping this last night on Sunday night. Can only imagine what it also kind of seemed like through the TV set on NBC. It was as loud as advertised. I'm shocked I have a voice today. My dad was at the original, the 93 game in the Silverdome. So to see his emotions, the first down happens. And he's like, what are you like, I literally grabbed him and I was like shaking him and patting him on the back. He's like, what? He couldn't put it together. It didn't fathom to it. Like, and even some of the Lions, I guess, remarked that they were unsure that with the time that was left.
Well, that's exactly the boat I was in. So here I am. I'm like, my words are stuttering. I'm not able to put a complete sentence together. And here I am trying to add 40 plus 4. And I couldn't do the math in my head just because my mind is going a million miles a minute, because here I am ready to like soil myself here in at my neighbor's couch with excitement. And I'm like, it took until third down before I realized, oh my God, this is it. This is actually happening. You know, that catch by St. Brown, you know, got it done for us. It was amazing.
I think one of the most challenging things about that scenario and how it played out, a 1-point game going down the stretch, we have just seen time and time and time and time and time again, especially as a Lions season ticket holder in that very same building, just the heart ripped out, right? And you're like, okay, this is going to happen. This is going to be Stafford, and this is going to give me PTSD for the next 30, 40 years.
I thought maybe there was going to be a 10-year anniversary of the pass back and forth kind of thing, you know?
But the Rams end up punting on their final offensive drive. I'm shocked, right? I thought they had the hot hand in the second half. And, you know, even though they had a couple drives stall out, and Stafford obviously had some, you know, concussion or, you know, injury-related issues going on there. If Dan Campbell was on the other sideline, I think he would have went for it, Vince. You know, McVay played a little bit more conservative. Lions get it. Lions offensive line comes to play.
And I think McVay even conceded as much in his postgame comments, kind of saying, yeah, hindsight's 20/20. If I could have did it all over again, you know, our defense was doing a good enough job of stopping their offense in the second half. So that was initially my first impression. But, you know, our offense had also been doing a good job, you know, moving that ball between the 20s. But, you know, if he could have did it all over again, but c'est la vie at this point.
But there was something, just to kind of go back to what the original talking point was here about the game. There was something so jubilant about getting to sing the Lions fight song. And the final phrase of that fight song is a Lions victory. That's something that's going to live with me for the rest of my life, quite honestly, being there with my dad and my brother, Chris. And we've just seen a number of these games where, again, things don't go our way, right? We're just accustomed to it. It went our way Sunday night, and it couldn't have set up a better scenario the rest of the way. And, you know, as we're taping this, the Eagles and Bucks are playing, so we're not going to really get into potential matchups, I would assume, about this one, and just kind of more recap this game. But I kind of want Matt Patricia and the Eagles, sadly.
I'm right there with you 100%. Not to mention, they're the bigger beast. Yeah. They're the defending NFC champions. Obviously, the Patricia adds a little bit of sex appeal to it, but they are, by and large, the better team. Have they played like the better team down the stretch? Absolutely not. Yeah. We played Tampa Bay once before. We proved that we were far and away the better team. I would like to see Philadelphia and see what how well we can match up, you know, this time around.
And I kind of want to get your take on what it kind of came through on NBC. Obviously, this is the big TV window, right? They get the Lions Rams matchup, and
I'm sure was incredibly intentional. You know, I know Roger Goodell, the NFL commissioner, made a point of making sure that at, you know, fans' behest, that the Lions were featured as prominently as possible moving forward. Mm-hmm. So far, they've made good on that. So, as for me, my wife and I had the enjoyment of watching the game over at our next door neighbors with a few other neighbors and friends. So we weren't, totally by our lonesomes. It was nice having people around with us, all kind of cheering for that common goal, so to speak. And through the TV, it was pretty cool. The M&M opening kind of sent chills up your spine. They kind of showed clips of Jared Goff when he came out for his pregame warmups and the crowd doing the Jared Goff chant. That was real cool to see. It seemed like there was more Stafford talk than I thought was maybe necessary. And granted, it was a huge storyline. He was the one of the faces, if not the face of the franchise, for the better part of a decade and a half. It would have been nice if they would have lived in the here and now a little bit more, in my opinion. And it seemed like the commentary was more pro Rams throughout the course of the game. It seemed like their kudos to the Lions was more the fans and the environment at Ford Field. And like, wow, everyone's having a great time and everyone's getting loud more so than, oh, this team, X, Y, Z. Until the very end when it seemed like, you know, after St. Brown made that catch and it seemed like it really was the end, that's when you kind of started to see, you know, Tirico and Collinsworth playing a little bit of catch up at the end of starting to dump some, you know, accolades or, you know, kind of giving the Lions their flowers there at the, you know, later stages of the game. But not nearly as exciting as I'm sure being there at Ford Field in person. I'm sure there was absolutely nothing like it. It was, I'm sure, a life-changing experience like you alluded to, but still still a fun time watching it.
Yeah. So just to kind of put a bow on what it was like to be there in person, parked downtown, to kind of walk over, and the very first place, where we went to, you know, go get a bite, to eat, go get a drink, an hour and 45 minute wait. That could have been embellishment by the establishment to like, hey, we just don't want to have like a huge crowd here. We ended up going a couple stops, a couple of doors down to Buddy's, and it was like an hour, right? So that wasn't like too bad. But it was packed in there. You know, you got the Packers game on. And I, for the life of me, obviously do not like the Packers, do not like the Cowboys, like, you know, these are teams that I've just got, you know, bad memories of with, you know, whether it's, you know, I mean, just even this year, you know, the Packers winning on Thanksgiving
Day.
But for the life of me, I knew that a Packers win could potentially set up really special scenario for the Lions to get that second home game. But I didn't want to think ahead. Right. I'm like, okay, so all these people cheering for the Packers right now, what happens if we lose and you just cheered the Packers just winning by however many points they did, right? Like, I wouldn't feel good about that at the end of the night. So I couldn't do it. Was I happy with what happened? Sure. But it was a strange experience seeing people, you know, in the bars and things like that, wearing Lions gear, but cheering for the Packers, right? And then you go into Ford Field and they put the game on and, you know, warmups are being had and it's still the same thing, you know? So again, awesome experience. It was awesome leaving. Lots of Let's Go Lions chants. You know, I know there's only seating capacity for 65,000, 66,000 or so. You know, it'll be another big,
you know, they could sell out the big house with 110,000 easily
really
at this
could.
Point. They got that much buzz going around the state of Michigan and beyond at this point that, I don't think that'd be a impossible undertaking one bit.
Yeah, but whatever your favorite sport team, you know, team is, whether it's a, you know, maybe football is not your favorite thing. If it's Red Wings, Pistons, Tigers, you know, or some other team, to have that kind of experience, that atmosphere, just a very crazy night. A lot of people were able to kind of recover with not having work on Martin Luther King Day, you know, when we're recording this. So I'm glad, you know, that they can rest up and stuff. But just a phenomenal experience and one I'm so glad I got to take part in.
So as far as the game itself is concerned, I mean, now that, you know, we kind of are now able to separate emotion, it's been at the time of taping, you know, coming up on 24 hours removed from the actual game itself. From an X's and O's standpoint, they seemed as complimentary from a football standpoint as I've seen all season. The cohesion between the offense, the defense, the special teams. Dan Campbell said it best in his press conference from today that, like, everybody top to bottom had a role in what happened. Everybody had a job to do. Everybody did their job. And to have that sense of kind of personal ownership over fighting towards this common goal, I can't imagine how that's going to even further, if that's even possible, galvanize the squad. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. One thing that I've really enjoyed this season that, well, first of all, I think really during this Campbell and Holmes regime that the Lions have just absolutely aced on is their social media and web presence that they have done. I can't tell you how many awesome Instagram or Twitter posts or Facebook posts that this Lions social media team
My wife
has.
And I have a habit of like taking like 15, 20 minutes a week and just like going back and watching our favorites together.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
But obviously Campbell having the personality that he has, the locker room videos after the game are absolutely must see if you are a Lions fan.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so happy considering that the Lions game, when I like walking through, and I know part of it was, you know, hey, Stafford's in town, we want to show Goff his love, but the Jared Goff, Jared Goff, Jared. And then literally
as he's walking through the locker room.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
it's must see.
And then Campbell goes, you're good enough for Detroit. You know, that's the kind of, and even that, the way he phrased it, you're good enough for Detroit, where we know it's kind of tongue in cheek, essentially, with the scenario that played out. But, you know, and there's been times when I thought, okay, well, you draft Hendon Hooker, like maybe from a salary cap standpoint, right, it makes sense to get Hooker a little bit more involved, you know.
Obviously, we planned to do this, our Kneecaps for Breakfast podcast, once a week moving forward all year round. So we're going to have plenty of opportunities to kind of get deep into the weeds and nerd out a little bit between, you know, is Goff the long-term answer? Should they see what's behind curtain number two? I mean, there is going to be another opportunity and point in time for all those discussions. Yeah.
But for this team, for where we are, this scenario that's playing out, the mentality, you better believe Jared Goff's the quarterback. And, hey, it might not always be pretty, but he is damn near efficient sometimes. And that first quarter, it was fantastic.
Surgical.
To see from
surgical.
Yeah, it really was. It really was.
10 for 10 out of the gate for 124 yards. I mean, you can't ask for a much better start out of your quarterback than that, especially a guy that is – making his playoff debut for a franchise that hasn't seen success in so long. Mm-hmm. I mean, you kind of had a feeling it was going to go one of two ways. It was either going to be a complete unmitigated disaster or it's going to be something kind of like this, but you were cautiously optimistic that it would kind of fall into that latter category. And even because of that, I'm just sitting back watching the whole thing and I'm like, wow, this guy can't miss.
Yeah. Yeah. He was feeling it. He was feeling it. Yeah, and it's kind of crazy to think that so we go up and get our third touchdown to get 21, but then really just in the second half, we just had 3 points, you know. So, I mean, credit to the Rams for making some adjustments. The offense, you know, stalled out a little bit. I think there was some fatigue going on, but, you know, and they'll want to get things cleaned up for the next game at home. But you knew, I mean, hey, if you had any shot at beating the Rams, it had to come with a fast start. It had to come out with a fast start and make them one dimensional on offense. Don't run, you know, don't let Kyren Williams add a presence with the run game. And they did that. They really did that.
And as far as the defense goes, it was kind of more of the same in the passing game. You let Justin Jefferson put up close to 400 yards over a 2-game span. CeeDee Lamb goes for about 200 himself. And last night it was the Puka Nacua show through the air for the Rams. So it really made us sweat this one out, knowing that there was the threat of a big play at any point. Now, granted, in the second half, those big plays were fewer and farther between, but you kind of just had that suspicion in the back of your mind that, you know, one blown coverage or one, guy that slips on the turf or something, and Nacua is going the other way for six more.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. He is a dangerous weapon. And, you know, listen, call us biased, if you will. Like I think Amon-Ra should still be in the Pro Bowl.
They made it right by giving him the All Pro though. I mean, that was, they say the All Pro is what puts you in Canton, you know?
Mm-hmm. But, you know, at the end of the day, I think this team is best when it has a chip on it. And again, I'm going to go back to my original point. The 04 Pistons, they had a chip. The 06 Tigers, they had a chip. This team has a chip. Like,
it's kind of a Detroit thing, you know? It's
kind of a Detroit thing. You're absolutely right. Yeah.
And then let's not cast aside the third unit of our squad, the special teams. Did they come through or what? You know, Bagley, everyone's been ripping on, oh, we don't have a kicking game whatsoever. What does he do? He goes out there, you know, got to have it, nails a 54-yarder. Jack Fox flipping the field on a couple of occasions.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's things like that where it's like the things that you don't talk about a whole lot at the same time make the biggest difference.
Yeah, yeah, and again, that's the difference, right? You get 24 out of that field goal, and a huge confidence boost, I think, too. Let's not kid ourselves. Like, there's going to be some situations where you're going to have to use a kicker in the postseason. You can't just, you know, Dan Gamble it, if you will, and you know, go for it on every fourth down or do a trick play on a punt or a field goal or anything like that. Like, you do need some consistency if you're going to continue to rack up these wins and make what's been a very special season into a season to remember, you know, for the rest of your life as a fan.
Now, I don't think that there was really the occasion to go all Dan Gamble-ish, if you were, throughout the course of the game. They had that one fourth down where they, I think it was fourth and five, they went for it and they scored. I think that was the play they scored on. Is that right? Was that Laporta touchdown on a fourth down?
Yes. Yep. Okay. That was the fourth down.
So that was a pretty, you know, easy call in my mind. I don't think there was really any situations beyond that where it's like, I wish Campbell would have kind of put his foot on the accelerator a little bit more or maybe backed off a little bit. I thought he called a great game from a aggression versus, you know, playing it safe standpoint. What are your thoughts on that, Phil?
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think when we've seen him be a little riskier, you know, with the call, I think it comes from a situation of we've been on the road. Maybe we're in a situation where we haven't been favored to win. Maybe we're in a situation where timing wise with where we have the ball, you got to make it happen here and now. And I think just the way that the game presented itself with, I think you could say that there was more pressure on the Lions, clearly, you know, being in the spotlight with this, that I think he didn't want to have one of those kind of situations blow up, you know, in the middle of the game and then the team can't focus, you know? I'd agree with that. Like, I think it was a little bit more of a reserved call, and it worked out, you know, in the end.
And I think what you don't want to see is you don't want to see a huge 180 personality change from the regular season to the postseason. You're kind of looking for that same level of consistency. I mean, mm-hmm. being aggressive and taking those chances is what got you to this position in the first place. So I don't think that he got away from that necessarily. I just think that the way the game played itself out, I don't mm-hmm. think there was a necessity to kind of push the envelope a little bit there.
And, yeah.
Of course, I don't think the officiating was super heinous at any real point throughout the evening. I think, if anything, the officiating crew led by 10th-year referee Craig Rolstad, I think, kind of had the guys keep their flags in their pockets for most of the night. I think there was a lot of just let them play and don't let us get in the way of what's going on this field too much.
Yeah. That being said, though, I want to never see a situation involving Taylor Decker and a referee ever again. Because again, a guy is doing the right thing and it's, I wouldn't say that was like a critical play in the game or anything. Certainly not like it was in Dallas, but we're talking, of course, the offsides, false start kind of situation. Don't remember or can't really remember who the Rams player was that went offsides, but essentially was ruled a false start when Decker, you know, tried to like basically touch him across the line to show that, you know, he had hit with the encroachment or whatever.
And to be completely fair, and I don't know if there's discussion from New York that is in the official's ear at game site, but to be totally fair, NBC never showed a real good angle. I mean, you kind of used your imagination. Mm. You're kind of like, yeah, it looks mm-hmm. close, but like they never had that right down the ball view of that. It was just offset enough to where it kind of created that you know, beyond a reasonable doubt, you know, that I guess it could have gone either way, but it sure looked from, you know, from this guy's standpoint that it definitely should have been called the other way.
Yeah. Yeah. Not, and the last
didn't decide anything in the game, of course, no, yeah. but
Well, the last thing you want in a playoff game too, when the emotions are high, are the refs making makeup calls where, hey, a 50-50 call or something less than that gets called the first time around. And then three, four, five plays later, it's basically a play that's similar, you know, to make up for that. I feel like we've seen that a number of times this year. You know, I can't say I thought it was a great job officiating, right? And the refs are getting booed, believe me, at these Lions games. That was kind of one of the funny elements of being there for the pregame warmups was the refs walked out. I'm like, oh wow, they're booed just as loudly as the Rams, you know. That's just kind of the reputation and the cards that have been dealt the Lions' way this year. But it's something to keep an eye on for sure.
So you're listening to the Kneecaps for Breakfast podcast, Vince Progar, Phil Byrne along with you, just kind of breaking down what happened in the Lions playoff victory, first time in 32 years against the Rams. It still doesn't get old saying that even, you know, a couple days later. I mean, it's like, it's the same as like saying good morning, you know, just as easy as that. You know, it's awesome.
And Vince, it's even just the division win. Like, it's just such a foreign concept that, like, you know, I haven't bought a division champ shirt yet or anything just because I'm like, well, do you really want a division champ shirt? Or
no, we got so many more goals out in front of us at this point. I mean, it's
to get an NFC champion shirt or, you know what the other one is. So I haven't bought it yet. I mean, maybe we'll wait till after the season, you know, and clearance rack kind of situation
or
something.
I would agree.
Wow. It's just been dominated by the Packers for so long.
Yes.
You know, or then the Vikings or Bears will have a couple years in between. But, that'll be interesting to talk about the Packers and Cowboys, too, here in a little bit.
Yep. So we're going to do a little bit more in the way of, like, weekly segments over the course of each one of our episodes. Tonight's kind of our pilot episode, so we're kind of going to kind of hone in on a couple of areas. And then as we move forward in, you know, ensuing episodes here, we'll kind of, you know, get into, you know, some of that and start having some fun. But we want to take a few minutes here and kind of move beyond that and kind of get into the NFL as a whole. Obviously, this being wild card weekend, still going on at the time of taping here. But, you know, the AFC had a few clunkers there, and all of the home teams held serve with Houston coming up big over the Browns, Kansas City in the bitter, bitter cold weather. Took care of the warm weather, Miami Dolphins. That game was, you know, one that was never really in doubt. And then a game that had to be moved from Sunday to Monday, the Buffalo Bills took care of the Pittsburgh Steelers, you know, again, in pretty convincing fashion start to finish. So your thoughts on the AFC playoffs beyond that so far?
A little surprising. I think the not that Houston won, but I think just, you know, credit to Jim Schwartz, former Lions coach Jim Schwartz, maybe the former Lions coach who I don't think he's going to be hired, but I think he's got as good of a shot as any former Lions coach to actually get another head coaching job down the line. Man, CJ Stroud on that Texans offense, there's something special.
Yeah.
There's something special. He's something special. You know, for a franchise that seemed to be really poorly ran the last couple of years, it's really wild what happens when, I don't know, Vince, you just kind of hire the right coach and you get a quarterback and play.
Is that guy from the Patriots still the GM in Houston, or did they replace
Cesario?
Casario?
Yeah. Or Casario, yeah.
So he's still there. He brings aboard D'Amico Ryans, the, you know, longtime Houston Texans defensive back, you know, loved by all, you know, down there. You know, he's got, you know, if it's not going to be Dan Campbell, it sure as heck better be D'Amico Ryans as coach of the year material.
Yeah. But anyways, yeah. So the Texans rolling the Browns is a little bit surprising to me. You know, and then the Bills, I think, just knowing where the Steelers offense had kind of been this year, that was one that I kind of expected, especially being out in the elements. Miami, again, you know, with the weather. It was kind of wonder too, if some of these games, I mean, obviously the Houston game was played indoors, but you know, if the other two were played in kind of more neutral setting, would they be a little bit closer? Would they have been a little bit more competitive? Certainly Lions Rams game, at the time we're taping this, the most competitive game that we've seen. So, I think Ravens, and Bills, in my opinion, front runners at
this
point. That's
kind of the class of the AFC looking at it right now.
Yeah.
And you kind of touched on it from, your time leading up to the Lions game. The Packers, I mean, it wasn't nearly as close as what the score shows. It was a complete beatdown against the Dallas Cowboys in Jerry's world. And it seemed like for a lot of years, Dallas always seemed to underachieve inside what's currently known as AT&T Stadium. And they had gone 16 for 16. And this time, I believe Green Bay lifetime had a 5-0 record at that stadium. Four times against Dallas, once in the Super Bowl against Pittsburgh. They made it 6-for-6 yesterday. And I'm kind of at a loss for words. You know, I was doing a little bit of prep work for, today's pilot episode. So I missed kind of that first half, and I go upstairs and it's already 20-0. And I think for me, I didn't want Green Bay in the first round because I wanted the Rams for other reasons, but I specifically did not want Green Bay because I saw that coming a mile away. I knew that you get a young group of guys who they don't know what they don't know. And I think that kind of is a good thing in that you don't have too many bad habits in your mind. You don't have negative experiences to pull from. And I think they're just kind of doing their thing and stacking those wins at this point.
So you're kind of talking about Green Bay, right? I want to take it from Dallas' standpoint. So obviously we know about the controversial finish in Arlington that we saw, and still doesn't sit well with me and how everything was handled. Eagles at that point in time, their stock is absolutely just falling like a rock. Cowboys luck at the 2 seed. Eagles don't get home field advantage. Cowboys lose. Lions get a home playoff game. So I just remember a lot of people that I talked to at work or just kind of, in social circles and said that, Dallas has some sort of karma coming for them. And hey, not a Cowboys fan again, right? So for Cowboys fan listening to this, I do apologize, but I truly believe karma served. It was served because, Dallas did not deserve to win that game to get the 2 seed. And this is what they had to kind of go through. And again, just chalk it up to another, Dak Prescott, really, really poor playoff performance. And halfway through the game, I'm like, Belichick's a free agent. Seen crazier things. Jerry Jones is a madman. Is that something that they would literally pull the trigger on with McCarthy?
I was just about to ask you that. Does McCarthy have to pay for yesterday with his job?
They've been very solid in the regular season, but I think it's a case of, like, if you're Jerry Jones or you picking someone or maybe his son, I guess. I think his son's involved in some decisions out there as well.
Maybe more so now that Jarrow's getting a little on the, a little long in the tooth.
I think it's Dak or McCarthy. I don't think you can bring them both back. There has to be serious repercussions for that. And it just seems like, again, I hate to say if anyone made, a bet with or a parlay or something like that with the Cowboys getting to the Super Bowl, because I could have told you that was probably – a bad bet, but I don't think both come back. And even Dak, like, really, if I'm the Cowboys, I bring Dak back because I think just from a football standpoint, it makes sense. Like, you're not going to just go get a better quarterback on the open market. But if they're really serious about winning, listen, I do love Cooper Rush, right? CMU grad, and he's Fire the guy up. There, in the backup. But they probably should be looking at, taking a quarterback and thinking about life outside of Dak or after Dak, because just, And then I know a lot of that game was on their defense too, but just didn't live up to the hype,
So in some cases, Phil, as it relates to the Packers and Cowboys game, it seemed like when you look back at what happened back in Dallas a couple of weeks ago with the Lions, know, in a weird sense, knowing what happened in our game a few hours later, it's almost like the Lions lost that battle, but in a twisted way that kind of won the war, because their objective and the main gripe of why things went the way they did and it changed the plan a little bit was we were supposed to get the number two seed and then be in mm-hmm. line to get that second home game. And then because everything fell the way it did otherwise, we're kind of right back in that same boat as if we would have won that game in Dallas and gotten that two seed.
Pretty wild how things sometimes work out, you know, and this is a case of it strangely kind of sort of worked out. And, you know, again, it goes back to the same thing of it's a team with a chip on their shoulder that doesn't always have everything fall into play, and they have to, again, what is the open with this about, right? Getting the kneecap and fighting and scratching and clawing its way to the top. That's exactly what's happening. That's exactly what they're doing. And somewhere along the way, they're getting a little bit of luck too, you know, with some things. And
100%.
That's a fun combination to have.
And sometimes it's better to be lucky than good. I mean, nobody questions the fact that this Lions team has plenty of good things going, but if you can get a few bounces or a few calls to go your way too, or even some benefit of the doubt stuff, you're in pretty good territory right there.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So let's kind of put a bow on things here for our pilot episode of Kneecaps for Breakfast. And of course, we appreciate you tuning in for our, for our maiden voyage into the, into the podcasting universe here. Vince Progar, Phil Byrne along with you. We're not going to really get too much into, you know, next week, because at the time of recording, we have the Eagles and the Buccaneers currently doing battle down in South Florida. But, final thoughts on, the game against the Rams in the wild card round, which the, Lions came out on top 24-23.
An experience that I'm always going to remember, something that looking back 3-4 years prior, I can't remember now what season it was. I guess it would have been 3 seasons because it was the 2021 season. Got 3 season tickets with my brothers. We were up in the upper row or in the upper deck and kind of just had sort of low expectations. Hey, this is going to be something fun. That, listen, we were quarantined for so long. We didn't have live sports. Let's go win on some Lions tickets. Like, who knows if they're going to be good? Well, guess what? They're good. They're real good. And they're real fun to watch. And this is a team that is exceptionally fun to root for. And now we're in a situation that is beyond my wildest dreams for where this season was going to go. You got that win last year in Lambeau, and it was the start of something really, really special. You got the road games where you got all the Lions fans traveling. And listen, I think sometimes teams and fans look ahead, and I want to make sure with this team and this scenario that we don't look ahead. Because it's still a playoff game and you're still facing a very good NFL team, whatever the opponent is. But for one night against Matthew Stafford, and we had Jared Goff, who was cast away in Los Angeles by Sean McVay.
He was the throw-in of that deal.
He really was.
Plain and simple. We'll give you all this draft capital for Matthew Stafford. But here's one catch. You got to take Jared Goff as the, as the throw-in. That's exactly what
I do want to know really quick, just because I have not watched the full broadcast, Vince, to put a bow on this. Here's a guy who, from Chris Collinsworth, did we get on either Jared Goff or Matt Stafford last night?
To Jared Goff, it really wasn't very many. Obviously, you were getting a lot from Stafford with just how he could swing that ball with the sidearm and that's not who Jared Goff is. Goff doesn't do what he does to get atta-babies from Chris Collinsworth or Greg Olson or any of those talking heads on the TV networks. The only thing he cares about is going out and winning that game for his team. And last night it was mission accomplished. And I think that's why, among a few other reasons, why, he's become such a player that I find it so easy to root for. And obviously, there comes a point where it's like, okay, Stafford gets traded away. He's not my quarterback anymore. I mean, I was as anti-Detroit Rams or whatever BS that was back in that Super Bowl run. It was very easy for me to reconcile the fact that Stafford is not our quarterback. Jared Goff is our quarterback. This is who I am going to get behind. But as you said, Phil, I didn't, in my wildest dreams, think it was going to be this type of an upward trajectory where things are humming to this extent in year three. I mean, obviously, it's what you hoped for. It's what we've hoped for with every coaching and general manager front office regime that's come through in the last 20, 25, 30 years. Yeah. But things seem to be advancing right on schedule. And I think I speak for you when I say I think we're all here for it.
We are. And, you know, just kind of my passing thought is just enjoy where we're at. And for those of you that have been along for the ride for the majority of your lives, and this has been a team that has occupied your Sunday and a team that has left you disappointed going into that Monday workday or going into Monday in class at school and just really downtrodden. And, oh, how come we're not like the Patriots? How come we're not like the Packers? How come we're not like this team or that team? This team has an identity. They're incredibly fun to watch. And Vince, I am so happy we have decided to do this, and we're going
to. And for the record, we made plans to do this before, you know, even the division got clinched. I mean, so this isn't something that we're just jumping on the bandwagon. I mean, you and I have, you know, decades upon decades upon decades of combined experience of being a Lions fan here. So I think we were going to do this regardless. I think everything just fell into place, but it's like we said at the open of the show, what a time to be alive, huh?
Absolutely.
So that's going to do it for this pilot episode of Kneecaps for Breakfast. Phil, kind of give a little bit of a rundown on how to, you know, how to listen to us moving forward.
Yeah, absolutely. We are going to have a YouTube channel that you'll be able to listen to the podcast in kind of audio form. There won't be any video as of yet. We do want to kind of slowly move this along. And then also you can find us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, and we'll try to get this out to some of maybe the lesser known podcasts as well.
And eventually you want to get to a point where we're able to say wherever you get your podcasts. I'm not sure we're there yet, but I think we want to get there someday.
Yeah, exactly. But baby steps first, and what a big step it was, I guess.
It sure was. So, so again, that's going to do it for this episode of Kneecaps for Breakfast podcast. Be sure to tune in next week after another Detroit Lions playoff victory. And we're going to be doing this on a weekly basis, and we'll be along for the ride the whole way and into the offseason. It's going to be a lot of fun. So for my buddy Phil Byrne, Vince Progar saying good morning. I hope you enjoy your kneecaps for breakfast. Go Lions, forward down the field, over and out.